Hello and welcome to episode 445 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan, as always joined by Evan Silva. Week two is behind us. We're starting to get a little bit bigger sample here on how these players are being used in the 2022 NFL season. Evan, how's it going?
What's up, man? How's the weather out there in Denver?
Perfect. Beautiful, as always. 300 days of sunshine.
It's 90 degrees here.
Perfect.
90 degrees. Unbelievable. Yay, climate change, right?
I like it hot. On today's show, we are going to go team by team through each AFC squad. Everything we saw in week two and what it means. Before we get into it, reminder, DFS season, aka the best season, is here. We are spending hundreds of hours each week making sure our projections are the best that they can be. That goes for base, goes for ceiling, goes for projected ownership. Plus, we have Silva's matchups column, showdown analysis deep for every slate, and all kind of context around that we think you need to win. Annual, weekly, and monthly options are available on the site now if you haven't picked up in-season package yet. Also, this podcast is brought to you by our friends at Underdog Fantasy. In many states, they have this pick 'em game live, fantasy pickup game. If you are an in-season subscriber, we always have the table up that displays Underdog's pick 'em game lines, but on Saturdays, we drop in our projections so you guys can compare what we have for a player to what Underdog is posting, and you can see if you can find any edges that way. Use promo code ETR when you sign up for Underdog Fantasy, and they will match your first deposit up to $100. Again, promo code ETR at Underdog Fantasy. All right, let's start with the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore Ravens, maybe it's because they don't have Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, but just like last year, they've been positive in pass rate over expectation. They're throwing the football and throwing it at a reasonably high rate. And we saw you get these huge Mark Andrews possibilities, and you see the potential of Rashad Bateman. Now, I have some concerns on Rashad Bateman because he's only run a route on 72% of Lamar dropbacks, 47 routes on 65 Lamar dropbacks. I have no idea why they're doing that given the state of their wide receiver core. But I mean, when you throw the football, Bateman's got to be out there. Dude can clearly play. That long touchdown he had was incredible. Evan, what did you see out of the Ravens in their wild, wild game against the Dolphins?
Yeah, I mean, they are throwing it downfield. I mean, they are airing it out big time. 11 yards per pass attempt here. Well, I know that Lamar Jackson had he's got a massive ADOT, and he averaged 11 yards per pass attempt in this particular game. Mm-hmm. What a game for him. I mean, clearly he is not the conspiracy theory that he is not running because of his contract was kind of put to bed here. 9 for 119 and a touchdown. My theory on Rashad Bateman is that the reason that they are maybe holding him back a little bit is because they might be a little bit shook. I mean, he came into the league. Remember, he got hurt last year and he like missed like, I think it was like 6-8 weeks, something like that.
Yep.
And they probably feel like they can, just use other guys. I mean, a lot of times teams will open the season using like four receivers. They're using a bunch of tight ends. The Ravens are using a bunch of tight ends. Isaiah Likely had some production in this game. But, a lot of teams will open the season sort of using rotations at receiver and then kind of just pick out the dudes. And as the dudes that are playing real well, and they'll just roll with them. Obviously, Bateman is the one here. You know, that's not in doubt. But my expectation is that as they grow increasingly confident in his ability to stay healthy, he clearly separates from the other guys. Like his route participation will rise.
Yeah. I would say on Likely, certainly had a good game. Isaiah Likely ran 8 routes in this game on 31 Lamar Jackson dropbacks. And that's the concern. Every time we've talked about Likely, we've tried to hammer home this point. When you play the same role as Mark Andrews, the move tight end role, it's going to be really hard. Like, can you really play two move tight ends at the same time? And so far, the Ravens really aren't. Now, Likely played well, but again, only 8 routes on 31 Lamar dropbacks. You have to watch that closely. Also, on J.K. Dobbins, I want to note, there's some rumors out there. I heard some stuff that maybe he had a minor setback with his knee, and obviously that's not good. And, you know, so every week, I think it's going to keep being like, is Dobbins going to play? Is Dobbins going to play? I don't know, man. It doesn't look great. Now, obviously, they can't run the ball at all, and they're not even like really trying that hard to run the ball with the guys they have now, Kenyon Drake and whatever else they have.
You should tweet at J.K. Dobbins that he had a setback.
That's literally the worst idea I've heard. I know, all I know. All right, let's go to the Buffalo Bills. Really disappointing for me on McKenzie and Crowder last night, because like one of the thesis of the McKenzie play, and if you guys like Crowder, I was on McKenzie more than Crowder, but regardless, it was that one of them could play outside and will play outside, and the other one will play in the slot. In other words, they can be on the field together. Even with Gabe Davis out last night, Crowder and McKenzie were still exclusive slot. They put freaking Jake Kumerow out there. Jake Kumerow was running opposite Steph Diggs. And so it's very clear what the Bills think. Crowder and McKenzie have a very specific role, and it's the same role in the slot. And so that's frustrating for me, and it's hard to find a ceiling on Isaiah McKenzie or Crowder when they're just sharing slot snaps. So I took a lot of late flyers on Isaiah McKenzie. I don't feel great about it right now. What do you see out of the Bills Monday night evisceration of lowly Titans team?
Just everything that everybody else saw, you know, Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs.
Yep.
Like that is that's rocking right now. What? You know, that's I feel really good right now about ranking Stephon Diggs ahead of Davante Adams. Like, and we're only two games in, but I mean, we've got youth on our side, we've got a better quarterback play. Is the offense better without Brian Daboll? Because I mean, it's they're crushing right now. They crushed the Rams. The Titans have consistently played good defense under Mike Vrabel. They look better under Ken Dorsey.
It's also funny, man, that like some people were worried, oh, with Daboll gone, are they going to change their offensive philosophy? Buddy, Daboll gone, Gabe Davis out. They come out and just they're throwing the ball every play with Jake Kumerow. I mean, in the first half, before the game got out of hand, the running back opportunities were Devin Singletary 6, Zach Moss 3, James Cook 1. Like, they don't even, like, really try to – even with that situation, they still don't even really try to run the football. It's just so great. The Bills are so, so fun to watch.
Yep.
Bengals. So, a quiet injury here I wanted to note, but Drew Sample hurt his knee in this game. And in conjunction with that, Hayden Hurst is at a really nice role. I know we've mentioned him a couple times on here. But if you're scraping a tight end, and I know a lot of people are, I think Hayden Hurst's role, especially if Drew Sample misses, I think that's at least worth monitoring. Also, T. Higgins continues to be underrated. I mean, T. Higgins' last 11 full games they've played together, T. Higgins has seen 90 targets, Jamar Chase has seen 89. And that does not take anything away from Jamar Chase whatsoever. I absolutely love, love, love Jamar Chase. But T. Higgins is a beast also. What'd you see out of the Bengals game against the Cowboys?
Yeah, we have talked about Hayden Hurst a couple of times. He was a really nice, like, really, like, you know, 19th, 20th round pick in FFPC tight end premium. And now, you know, I mean, it's just like, you know, betting on a dude that has a chance at a good role in a good offense. Now, they haven't been a good offense so far. They've actually played, their offensive line has been an unbelievable disappointment so far. Yeah. Joe Burrow has taken 13 sacks through two games. He's part of the problem. He's holding on to the ball too long. Their coach is part of the problem. Zach Taylor, and I remember Greg Cosell talking about this a couple of years ago when they had an offensive line that was horrible. Not that this one's good, but he would be like, I don't understand why they run so much empty, you know, without a back there to blitz protect when they can't protect them with their front five.
Yeah.
And they're still doing it. And did you see Joe Burrow like had to go to the sideline like, Zach, like, no more empty. We're not running any more empty, okay? So, you know, and obviously, and also telegraphs to the offense what you're going to do. I mean, you know, it's like 95% chance that you're going to pass in that scenario. So there are problems on multiple fronts here. I think that they're going to get it together, but there are the good news is the problems are identifiable. The bad news is that maybe these offensive linemen that they put together aren't as good as we kind of hoped. But again, I think with continuity and time together, and I mean, they're staying healthy at least. They're running out there. They're going to get better.
Bengals are 0-2, and they've played the Steelers and Cooper Rush. I mean, they played Mitch Trubisky and Cooper Rush, and they're 0-2. They've scored 37 points in two games. They do play at the Jets on Sunday. Certainly a good spot to get right. But yeah, certainly has not been great. I will say that the Mixon stuff is encouraging to me. Again, he's running around on 56% of Joe Burrow dropbacks. He has a 14.6% target share. I think Joe Mixon's actually pretty good in the pass game, and I love when they use him there.
No, he's always been good in the passing game. He's a stud in the passing game at Oklahoma.
Yep. Cleveland Browns, I mean, what a ridiculous loss they had to the New York Jets. But yeah, you know, Nick Chubb, just from a DFS perspective, Nick Chubb at, you know, 4% or 5% at home against the Jets, the ceiling is always going to be outsized. And we talked about that. Nick Chubb is so efficient and such a touchdown score. Great play to anybody who played Nick Chubb in DFS on Sunday. And also you get a big Amari Cooper game here. I mean, at the wide receiver position, just like close your eyes and bet on talent. Amari Cooper, 10 targets, 9, 101, 1 from Jacoby Brissett. Pretty impressive there. What'd you see out of the Browns' loss to the Jets?
Yeah, they're going to be one of the highest rush rate above expectation team in the league, certainly until Deshaun Watson is eligible to play. Yeah. And that's what they're doing. I mean, and that was predictable, and that's what they're doing. Kareem Hunt is like an every week RB2. He had 15 touches here. He scored the 2 touchdowns in week 1. Nick Chubb is the number 1 overall fantasy running back so far on the season. He was somebody, you know, the ship chasers. Can't draft Nick Chubb, right? Can't draft Nick Chubb. Number 1 overall fantasy running back. It's nice to have the good game from Amari Cooper, but that's going to be a roller coaster all season long. This was a very efficient game for Jacoby Brissett, and I don't anticipate games like this from Jacoby Brissett very, very often.
Let's go to the Broncos. So in week 1, it was pretty tight. Javonte Williams outsnapped Melvin Gordon 38-27. In week 2 against the Texans, it got wide, man. I mean, Javonte 47 snaps, Melvin Gordon 23. And so that's an encouraging sign. But Nathaniel Hackett's struggling, man. I mean, not just the clock management stuff. I mean, that stuff has been a disaster, the clock management stuff. The red zone. I mean, they've been in the red zone and they haven't scored. They have 0 touchdowns. I think they're like among the league leaders in red zone possessions, haven't scored a touchdown. Russell Wilson has 12 pass attempts, tied for the league lead inside the red zone, 0 touchdowns. And I know they fumbled twice at the goal line. It's not all been Hackett's fault. Right. But, you know, it has just been a mess out there. I think they'd look a lot better if they just converted in the red zone better. But on the clock management stuff, is it that hard to have some, you know, spreadsheet virgin from Yale in your ear just tell you what to do? Like, I get that you have a lot going on, and believe me, I can't handle many things at once either, but I would certainly have someone in my ear telling me, hey, call timeout here, hey, go for it here, hey, we need to go run a pass play here, you know. They'd be in my ear. So that's all. I hope that Nathaniel Hackett gets that straightened out, because this team does have a lot of talent. What you see out of the Broncos win, it was not a convincing win. A Broncos kind of ugly win over the Texans.
Yeah, and Russ isn't balling. You know, I mean, he's not the athlete that he used to be. I don't know. His numbers were pretty good in week 1, but I didn't think he quite played that well. And then he did not play well. He doesn't see over the middle of the field well either. That's why it's going to be bumpy with Alberto. And Alberto had good route participation in this game. I mean, pretty solid, right? 22 out of 35, I think.
Yeah, about 66%, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that should be fine. He goose eggs in this game, and, you know, now people are like, hey, should I drop him? Don't drop him, but you got to understand that it's going to be bumpy. He has a lot of talent. He's the clear number one passing pass-catching tight end for Denver. Jerry Jeudy suffered a SC joint or
AC joint in his shoulder
or – Nathaniel Hackett even called it like to his ribs, I think, after the game. It sounds like it's day to day. So we'll have to keep tabs on that. I mean, KJ Hamler's been hurt. Yep. Tim Patrick's out for the season. Yeah, they were down to Tyree Cleveland.
Montrell Washington.
Kendall Hinton.
Yeah.
I don't know who Montrell Washington is.
Team preseason guy, yeah.
Is he? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, they're decimated. I mean, I think Hamler's got a chance to come back this week, but we'll see on Jerry Jeudy. But yeah, we got a lot of questions on Sunday morning on the last minute live stream about playing Alberto and playing Jerry Jeudy. And I was like, man, I don't even really feel a great need to play one of those guys, let alone both at the same time, because I think the game environment in a lot of these Broncos games is not good. And obviously the Texans aren't going to create great game environments either. And so, yeah, the Denver stuff is tough right now. I thought Courtland Sutton, though, obviously when Jerry Jeudy misses, Courtland Sutton's going to be a priority target for sure. Let's go to Houston. I mean, we talked about it. We had no idea what happened in week 1 with Dameon Pierce. None. I don't know what they were thinking. And then I guess, I don't know, they read Twitter or something, because in week 2, Dameon Pierce out-carries Rex Burkhead 15-0. In week one, remember, Rex Burkhead was getting base carries. It was 14-11 in carries in favor of Burkhead. But now 15-0 in favor of Pierce, and Pierce also out-snapped Burkhead 39-22. So I don't know what happened between weeks one and two, but whatever it was, it's back to the way it should be now with Dameon Pierce as the feature back. What do you see out of the Texans' loss in Denver?
Not a whole lot. You know, you wish that Brandon Cooks was more efficient so far. He's got 22 targets through two games. His target share is going to be steady, I think. Really, really high, you know, 25-30% on a week-to-week basis. But I don't know if Davis Mills is any good. You know, I think we're still trying to figure that out. You hit on the Pierce stuff. Brevin Jordan got hurt at tight end.
Yeah.
So that's going to push the tight end duties to Farrell Brown and O.J. Howard.
Yeah. On the Brandon Cooks stuff, I wouldn't panic on Brandon Cooks. He gets the Bears this week. Then's got to play the Chargers, but then Jaguars, Raiders, Titans. I mean, there's going to be good spots for Brandon Cooks here. I certainly wouldn't panic on him. Colts. So no Michael Pittman, no Alec Pierce. This Ashton Doolin kid, we talked about it on Sunday, man. Ashton Doolin has really good measurables, and he's proven to be a target earner. I mean, he's earned targets at a way higher rate than Paris Campbell. Ashton Doolin now has 13 targets on 39 routes run this season, and he's produced on them too. Certainly an interesting player. I could see him maintaining a role even after Pittman and Pierce get back. Also, in this game, man, no Pittman, no Pierce. I mean, they're desperate. And Nyheim Hines barely plays 15 snaps, and they're losing the whole game. And Nyheim Hines barely plays only 15 snaps. That was really weird.
Yeah.
To me, what'd you see out of the Colts' loss to the Jaguars?
I got asked on Sunday morning, trying to fill a flex spot, would Paris Campbell be a good play? And I said, yeah, he's a solid play. I'm sorry, at Red Hawk 8856. Like, I'm sorry. That was horrible. Okay. Paris Campbell, goose eggs on two targets. This team is like really bad, the Colts right now. And I mean, you know, I think they're well coached and they have the ability to figure it out. Matt Ryan doesn't look good, like, at all. Like, he never really had great arm strength.
Right.
And he doesn't have any zip on it right now. They have three good offensive linemen, and then they have holes because they lost guys at left tackle and right guard. And the dudes that they have in there right now, Danny Pinter and I don't know, a guy from the Matt Pryor. These guys are terrible. Okay. So, I mean, they're like offensive linemen that defensive coordinators can like pick on. And that's a problem right now for the Colts. And Matt Ryan's not very good. And it's there. And, you know, obviously they didn't have Michael Pittman, and he's like a true difference maker from them. I mean, once he's out, the receiver core, you know, with the exception of Ashton Doolin, who's shown a little bit, it just goes to complete crap. Jonathan Taylor was a massive bust here, primarily due to game script. It's just, it's not going good for the Colts so far.
Yeah. And I don't feel great about having CMC over JT, like, at all. But this was an example of one where Christian McCaffrey would not get scripted out. In other words, if Christian McCaffrey was on the Colts for this game, they get behind a ton to the Jaguars. Like, Christian McCaffrey is still having a good game with Matt Ryan, I think, whereas JT didn't really. But yeah, you know, small thing there for sure. Still like Jonathan Taylor a ton, obviously. Speaking of the Jaguars, let's go to the Jaguars. Christian Kirk, you know, I think some of the biggest hits that we've had in the season-long rankings so far have been way ahead of market on Christian Kirk, way ahead of market on Amon-Ra St. Brown, way ahead of market on Jalen Waddle. Now, there's certainly been a bunch of misses as well. The Kyle Pitts thing sticks out as one that's really bad, but the Christian Kirk stuff is great, man. I mean, 2.5 games he's played with Trevor Lawrence, if you include the preseason, he's seen 26 targets in 2.5 games, turned it into 17, 249, too. Christian Kirk, an indictment, as we said in the NFC pod on Cliff Kingsbury, is that Christian Kirk was just meh on Arizona. I mean, he's legit good on Jacksonville. The other pain point for the in-season, you know, for much of the summer, I was really high on Travis Etienne. Started to back off a little bit when the James Robinson stuff was coming out in August, but yeah, I was just too high on Travis Etienne. I mean, James Robinson beats out Travis Etienne 45-26 in snaps. Over the first 2 weeks, it's 34-13 James Robinson over Etienne in carries. Etienne only has a 9.7% target share. I mean, that's really low on the season. And so it does not look great for Travis Etienne. right now, James Robinson shoves it down my throat. Mm-hmm. Once again, what'd you see out of the Jaguars win over the Colts?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all that. I wanted to note on Trevor Lawrence that right now in EPA per dropback, which some dudes at PFF, Timo Risky and Kevin Cole, have shown that there's some correlation between winning MVP and EPA per dropback. Right now, Justin Herbert's number one. Josh Allen is number two in the league. Trevor Lawrence, number three in the league. And, I mean, he was 80-1 to win MVP. He's a dog, okay? He's a big dog to win MVP. But he's playing really well. In the first game, he didn't really stand out to me as having a really big game, but he was awesome in this game. He went 25 of 30. He should have had another big play to Marvin Jones, dropped it. Zero sacks taken here. And he's a really good athlete. I mean, he's fun to watch when you get him outside the pocket. Yeah. It's a lot different this year than it was last year under Urban Meyer. I mean, that stands out as really one of the biggest storylines. And I know it's the Jaguars, they don't get a lot of coverage, but that should be one of the biggest storylines of the season so far is how much better coached this team is.
Oh, 100%. Now they have played the Commanders and the Colts so far, you know, not exactly the toughest schedule. They have to play the Chargers and the Eagles next. But yeah, I mean, Trevor Lawrence was not the slam dunk number one overall pick for no reason. Dude can clearly play. Chiefs, a lot of Juju hate already, man. And I was super high on Juju. I have Juju on like all my teams. I'm not really concerned. He's run 61 routes on 77 Mahomes dropbacks through two games. That's the second most on the team. Only MVS has run more. And by the way, I think they need to reduce MVS's role a little bit. He's just like, you know, not a load-bearing wideout whatsoever. But anyways, back to Juju. I think I'm okay with it. Yeah, Juju is running, you know, not the most valuable types of routes, and he doesn't look that great out there, but he's going to be out there a ton with Mahomes. I think it's going to be fine for Juju. Any thoughts on him? Anything else you saw from the Chiefs game?
I just, with Juju, you know, and I wound up with a decent amount of him too. I just wonder if he's very good, because he really just hasn't been good in like years.
Yeah.
He's still really young. You know, but I don't know, but I'm starting them, you know, I'm still starting them. I'm just a little bit, you know, I get wary, you know, in these small sample sizes.
Sure.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been hyper efficient. I saw Dwayne McFarland discuss who does utilization for the fantasy life stuff right now, I think, under Matthew Berry. He suggested selling high on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because he's not like dominating usage, but he's been living off of efficiency. I just thought that was interesting to throw out there.
Yeah. So my take on CH is he's not playing a ton. He's only run 27 routes all year, but when he runs routes, they're scheming it to him. I mean, they are throwing him the football purposefully and with intention, 27 routes, but 7 targets. I mean, that's really, really good for a running back. I think that CH can have bigger games and a better role, but yeah, for sure right now he's not playing a ton at all, but I thought he's played well, and so I think he can earn more. And to me, the biggest stuff is they're scheming him the ball in the past game. So, you know, I have a lot of hero RB teams that with CH is like my second running back, and I'm totally fine with that, just like Miles Sanders or D Hendo or any of these guys. Go to Raiders. So, you know, when you leave Green Bay and like no target competition and you go to the Raiders and you have Derek Carr and you have Waller and you have Renfro, it's different, right? Devontae Adams is still an awesome player. 46% of the targets in week one. That goes down to 18% in week two. Now, note that Devontae Adams never had a target share of under 20% with the Packers at any point in the last 2 years. He's already under that once in his second game with the Raiders. And I think that was Evan's point when he was discussing the fade for a lot of the offseason, is that you can no longer rely on Devontae Adams every week getting 25%+ of the targets. You just can't with Waller and Renfro out there. But there's going to be huge games for Devontae Adams too, because he's a baller and he's just like can be unstoppable at times. But what'd you think of the Raiders, who absolutely choked it off in the second half, blew a 20-0 lead against the Cardinals?
It was just a beautiful choke job, wasn't it?
It was ridiculous.
I'm gonna get a little petty here, okay? We got this iTunes comment. Fake Sharp Silva from Bob in Jacksonville. Decent pod, but not as smart as they think they are. Silva spent all summer bashing Davante Adams. He's about to eat crow. Free content is fine, but I wouldn't give these donkeys a dime.
Evan loves reading the comments. Yeah, I really don't. I really encourage you not to read the comments.
Yeah, I know. but I mean, I got to do it. But I mean, so far, like, all right, first of all, I did not spend the entire summer bashing Davante Adams. I laid out a case for why I didn't think he belonged to be drafted at his ADP. I had him as a top 15 overall fantasy player. Okay. I didn't say he's going to be a big bust or anything like that. I said he's going to have a good season, but I would rather have Cooper Kupp and Justin Jefferson and Stephon Diggs ahead of him. And so far, like, that's like looking pretty good. Right. Mm-hmm. So do we get to, because this guy lied and he's wrong, do we get to take down the comment from iTunes?
We don't.
That's some bullshit right there. That's like the people that go on Yelp and try to like ruin small businesses because they had one bad meal. You know, like, fuck these guys, man.
I really think your life would be better if you never read a comment. But anyways, on Davante Adams, yeah, it'll all balance out. But I said my piece about how you can find lower target shares this year than you could have last year on Davante, and it was obviously an awesome spot. It was just a really weird second half. I mean, they did they could not move the ball at all.
Yeah, and they also in the second half, the Cardinals double teamed Davante Adams. Yeah. Look, Davante Adams is gonna have a bunch of big games this year.
Oh yeah,
you know, I mean, period. He's gonna be a good fantasy player. It's just I wouldn't take him 8th overall. You know, I would have taken him 14th overall.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the Chargers. So Keenan Allen missed this game. We'll see if he's back for week 3. But the 3 wide receiver set, as expected, was Josh Palmer, Big Mike Williams, and DeAndre Carter. Jalen Guyton was not a factor at all. Big Mike Williams played one of the best games I've seen, like a contested catch wide receiver play on Thursday night. I mean, that was incredible. I mean, he had at least 3 catches, maybe 4 catches where I was like, there's no way he's catching this. No way anybody comes down with this. And Mike Williams came down with it. And so you see when Keenan's out, they just give Mike Williams more chances. Other thing that I saw in that game on Thursday, I mean, Eckler's rotating a lot. I mean, he's played 80 snaps this season. Josh Kelly's played 37. Sonny Michel's played 25. And Sony has been the clear goal line back also. So I'm not panicking on Eckler. He still is going to score a ton of fantasy points as he did on Thursday just by catching the football so much. But he's certainly rotating more than I would have liked for a guy I had 5th or 6th overall. What you see out of the Chargers. Mm-hmm. And that Chargers had a really good chance to win that game, man. If they don't throw that crazy pick 6, Chargers would have won. But anyways, what you see out of the Chargers game against the Chiefs on Thursday?
Yeah, we talked about it a lot before the season, but there was a clear top 4, I think, tier, at the top of the first round. McCaffrey, Taylor, and then Kupp and Jefferson.
Yep.
And then there was like, you know, a teardrop to Eckler. And we talked about it at times, does Eckler belong in there? Maybe, you know. But I mean, I think at the end of the day, like we all agreed, it was a top 4 and then a teardrop. And I'm not saying that, you know, this is all proof that that's right. Josh Kelly's playing well. Like he's running the ball well. I mean, he's a player that's been sort of like developmental so far. And I mean, I think he's playing well. And I think they're going to continue to give him opportunities. Austin Eckler is no kind of bust or anything like that. He's the clear lead back in a prolific offense, and he's going to have big games, but you know, he doesn't have even 25 touch upside, I don't think, on a weekly basis.
Justin Herbert clearly got skewered in the ribs and gutted out the end of that game. I haven't heard an update on him. Sounds like he's probably gonna be able to gut it out. Usually these rib injuries guys are able to play through with an injection and a flak jacket type thing. So we'll see on that. We're keeping an eye on that. The other thing was Gerald Everett.
What a warrior.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What an absolute stud. And the teammates, and I know this is narrative crap, but the teammates, like, they're gonna have so much respect for a dude doing what he did. I mean, that was unbelievable.
He's the man. And Gerald Everett, by the way, I know Gerald, it was partially at least Gerald Everett's fault. He was trying to call himself out of the game on that pick 6. They didn't get him out. I thought Brandon Staley's had a horrible start to the year, which has been tilting. But anyways, Gerald Everett played a great game other than that one where he was trying to get out of the game. Gerald Everett looks like a wide receiver out there. I mean, he's wearing number 7. He's like, looks like skinny, but strong and athletic.
Dude,
he's got the
awesome
dark visor. I mean, he looks like an absolute stud out there. He's earned 17% of the targets through 2 games. Gerald Everett, to me, is one of the best late round tight ends.
I thought you were going to say that he earned a 17% bump in the PSM model. How cool he looks out there.
Yeah, he's popping for sure. Okay. We spent a lot of time last week talking about Miami's throw rate. And so, you know, how can you project when things like Tua going for 450 yards and five touchdowns or whatever he did? How can you project when things happen? Obviously, you can never project an outlier like that. But we can project that the Ravens secondary is extremely banged up. We can project that the Miami Dolphins led the entire NFL in a new system change under Mike McDaniel in week one and pass rate of expectation. And we know Mike Gesicki's barely getting the ball. Cedric Wilson barely gets the ball. And so this Tyreek and Waddle stuff, they've combined to see 59% of Tua's targets this year. They're barely throwing to anyone else. That's all to Tyreek and Waddle. And I would too. I mean, both these guys are two of the best wide receivers in the entire NFL. So I'm not saying that it was easy, but you can see how this game could have gone the way it went for Tua. Obviously, no one could have expected this outrageous, outrageous Tua game. But yeah, man, it's exciting for the Dolphins offense right now. What do you see out of their wild game against the Ravens?
Yeah, I think that like his mentor, Kyle Shanahan, Mike McDaniel has an innate ability to scheme receivers open. In week one, they were getting a ton of dudes open and Tua just wasn't hitting the throws. I mean, he didn't. And even in the first half of this game, to an extent. But in the second half, Tua was hitting everything. And these dudes are so fast. I mean, yeah. It's a lot of fun watching this team. I mean, you know, like when they get the ball to these unbelievable, you know, after catch playmakers, like they're going to cook. And I thought it was interesting also that they shifted Mostert into the lead role over Chase Edmonds. That's not something that I anticipated here in week two.
That was one of the biggest surprises to me of week two. I guess it was a game plan thing. I mean, Chase Edmonds was not hurt. Chase Edmonds was not on the injury report. I guess it was a game plan thing. Mostert had 14 opportunities. Edmonds had 8. Mostert also outsnapped Chase Edmonds 46-36. Like, I don't know, man. That was really, really weird and certainly introduces a lower floor weekly to Chase Edmonds' profile. New England. Ty Montgomery was out and they did it, man. They went to a 2-man backfield, you know, and we haven't seen this from the Patriots a lot. They went to a 2-man backfield. It was so frustrating because Ramondre played a ton. Ramondre outsnapped Damian Harris 42-27. Ramondre ran 23 routes. But he barely got the ball. I mean, only 11 touches for Ramondre. Damian Harris got 17, even though he was on the field less. And so that was frustrating on the Ramondre stuff. I mean, this was the spot for Ramondre. No Ty Montgomery. They played him a ton, and he just was not able to do it. So that's frustrating what you see out of New England's game against the Steelers.
Yeah, that was frustrating for Ramondre. Do we know when Tyquan Thornton is coming back?
I think it's going to be a while from what I
saw. Yeah, that's how I feel. Because I was going to say, because, you know, the Patriots wanted Tyquan Thornton, their second-round pick, to do this Aguilar role. But Aguilar has the big game. I don't know. I can't trust any of these Patriots pass catchers. I mean, Hunter Henry isn't even doing anything. DeMonte Parker, nothing. They're playing Lil Jordan Humphrey. Kendrick Bourne got back into the mix. Jacoby Myers is going to lead the team in targets, but he has, like, zero playmaking ability. I don't know. Are you interested at all in Aguilar?
Not really. And, you know, Jacoby Myers always looks pretty good in our stuff because he gets a bunch of targets, you know, and he's pretty good at converting them. But I just never play Patriots, really wide receivers very much. Anyways, on full slates, I just don't find the ceiling there. But clearly, you know, I think there's room for it when they're cheap enough in DFS to take some shots on some of these guys. I just haven't done it. Jets. Jets one was weird too, man. You know, not only was Michael Carter well ahead of Breece Hall, 43-19 in snaps, but the Jets felt the need to introduce Ty Johnson in week two. And it's like, why, man? You have Michael Carter, you have Breece Hall. I think they both play well in the pass game. I thought Breece Hall looked really good in week two. Why do you need to add Ty Johnson to the mix also? That was really, really frustrating. And then the other thing that was good, Garrett Wilson. I mean, 36 routes on 47 dropbacks, and Garrett Wilson had a really quiet camp. He plays for the Jets. He's behind Braxton Berrios. A lot of this stuff, man, bet on wide receiver capital. Like, round one wide receivers are so often underrated in fantasy draft season. We've seen with Dotson. Treylon Burks looks good. We'll talk about him in a second. Olave, you know, Garrett Wilson, like, it's all coming. And so I thought it was really good for Garrett Wilson. But yeah, what'd you see out of the Jets with their backfield, Garrett Wilson, anything else?
Yeah, shout out to Ben Gretsch for talking up Garrett Wilson a lot before the season. Just he went on the ETE with Leone. He was like, I don't understand why Garrett Wilson's going so low. I did a FFPC main event with Ben. He made sure that we got Garrett Wilson on our team. We didn't start him last week, but I like to have him. Mm-hmm. But he's a problem for Elijah Moore too, who I think was everybody's, you know, or a lot of people's favorite breakout. Yeah. I thought that he was going to be the dude in this receiver core, but I mean, it looks like it's going to be Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson, a player who was compared like by Greg Cosell to Stephon Diggs coming out of Ohio State. Also, he's getting more slot snaps than is Elijah Moore, I believe. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure of that just from eyeballing it. And that's good. I mean, you're going to get high percentage stuff when you run in the slot, and he's got legit playmaking ability.
Any thoughts on Ty Johnson? I mean, I can't really put my finger on why they did that.
I always kind of like Ty Johnson, but you know, I think these other dudes are better that are ahead of him, but you know, I can't explain it. You know, did he have a good week of practice? And they're like, all right, let's just throw him out there. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that happens.
Yeah. I mean, 3 targets for Ty Johnson. It's not a lot, but it's just like taking away chances from Carter and Breece. Let's go to the Steelers. This George Pickens stuff, you know, he's out there a ton. I mean, he's played 95 snaps this season, which is a ton. He's ran 72 routes on 78 Trubisky dropbacks. But on those 72 routes, he's seen 6 targets, 8% share, turned to 226.0. You know, he's not getting anything near the line of scrimmage. He's not getting any easy stuff. They're all deep down the field. Obviously, you can't start him right now, but his underlying usage is fine. What would you do if you had George Pickens on a team and anything else that you saw with the Steelers?
There are some problems here in Pittsburgh, and it's not just the quarterback who can't read a defense to save his life. The players came out with a ton of comments after this past game, like essentially ripping Matt Canada, their OC. Go read around like Steelers, blog stuff. Like it was alarming. All the comments from all the skill position players talking about, and it's from Najee Harris, who's like a team captain, to, you know, Pickens and Claypool and everybody, like they're really frustrated with the offensive scheme right now. And they, I think that they took some veiled shots at Mitch Trubisky as well. It seems like there's some turmoil here behind the scenes. Their offensive line actually hasn't been that bad, but we know that they have a talent problem there. And they have a big talent problem at quarterback. You know, there was a report on Sunday morning from Rap Sheet, I believe it was, that said that Mike Tomlin wants to be patient with Mitch Trubisky. Like, as far as I'm concerned, he should be playing for his job on Thursday night against Cleveland, because Kenny Pickett clearly outplayed him during the preseason, is the future. And I think that there needs to be some change here, because I think that they're like losing the locker room or something in Pittsburgh.
It would not be unprecedented whatsoever to use a first round pick on a quarterback and put him in September. I mean, that's what most teams do. I mean, I think that's like a coin flip right now. They need to get Kenny Pickett in there. But I agree with you that I'm not sure Kenny Pickett can overcome this scheme. Like Kenny Pickett, whatever, this scheme does not look great whatsoever. Titans. So they got wrecked predictably by the Bills. But, you know, bright spot, I think, was Treylon Burks. Played mostly with the starters. He ran 17 routes compared to 20 for Robert Woods, 19 for Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Burks looks good, man. He's ran 30 NFL routes. He's earned 11 targets, which is really good. And obviously that's easy to do when you have like no competition for targets, but 11 targets on 30 routes, and he turned it into 7.1020. You know, everything we've been saying the whole time, he was going to start off behind these guys, he was going to start off slow, but it's not going to be very long before Treylon Burks is the best wide receiver and the best fantasy asset in the pass catching core on this team. What do you see out of the Titans, who got wrecked by the Bills last night?
Yeah, and obviously, you know, there was negative game script here for Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry isn't going to thrive in negative game script. I mean, that's where, you know, he's a play with the lead kind of RB, but I still wonder, and they lost Taylor Lewan in this game, mm-hmm. and they're already talking about moving their right tackle to left tackle, rookie out of Ohio State. I think he's a 4th-round pick. They've got offensive line problems, and I don't know. I don't think that Derrick Henry has looked the same here for now, what's becoming a sort of extended period of time. I don't know. He'll probably shove that down my throat at some point, but I'm not excited to play him right now.
No, we had under, and this was available like everywhere close to kick. We had under Derrick Henry 89.5 rushing yards. I mean, if you guys are looking to bet props on your own or whatever, these stars in these island games getting inflated like crazy. I mean, there's so many ways you can get there on a Derrick Henry under like that. Obviously, the game script can go a certain way, but also he can be really inefficient. And so, yeah, obviously concerns about Derrick Henry. I mean, I have like zero Derrick Henry in season long. So I'm actually hopeful that this kind of malaise continues, but it is a bad team, and that's really bad for Derrick Henry, and that's one of the biggest points we tried to make during the offseason. I don't think it's crazy that we'll see Malik Willis at some point, and Malik Willis probably isn't ready. I don't think he looks anywhere near ready to play quarterback at the NFL level, but they have to at least see what they get out of him. And so if they're 2-6, if they're 3-10, I mean, give Malik Willis a chance, and I think we'll see that at some point. I'm sure Vrabel will be super, super stubborn with it, though, like super stubborn. So I wouldn't expect to see that anytime soon. All right. That's going to do it for the AFC Team by Team podcast. Appreciate you all being here. I'll be back with Silva on Friday night for with subscribers to talk through the week 3 DFS main slate. Be sure you check that out. Then we'll be back on Sunday morning for the last minute live stream going over all the latest news, any information that we have, whether start, sit stuff, you guys have anything else. For Evan, for producer Luke, I'm Adam. Good luck, everybody.